The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth this evening to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We have one more line in the Gimel file before we move on to verse 7. Psalm 37, the last line of verse 6. SOP for the study of the Word of God demands a few moments of privacy, the option of rebound, the opportunity of preparing ourselves in the proper manner for the approach to the Word of God. Whether you realize it or not, nothing is more important in your life than Bible doctrine. Everything else is very secondary. There is no way to understand or to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify Him, or to fulfill God's perfect plan for your life, apart from perception of doctrine. You have a few moments of privacy, the option of rebound, the opportunity of shifting gears into strict academic discipline, which means no talking, no unnecessary movement, nothing that would disturb or distract anyone around you. In preparation, therefore, let us pray. It is our privilege, Heavenly Father, to fellowship in the Word, to have the opportunity of growing in grace, to recognize the purpose of logistical support from the day of our salvation throughout the rest of our life on this earth. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by what we study this evening, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I'm sure that most of you are aware of the fact that God has a plan for your life. God is perfect. His plan is perfect. The perfect plan is fulfilled through perception of doctrine. And whether the circumstances of life are adverse or prosperous, God's plan continues, so that the fulfillment of the plan of God results categorically in the imputation of super grace blessing, whether times are bad historically or times are good. This is, of course, the subject of the unfinished line, the fourth line of the Gimel file. Let's review the corrected translation and then continue our study of the passage. Verse 1, do not be distracted, disturbed, worried, irritated, agitated by those who do evil. Do not be jealous toward those who do wrong. Because like grass, they shall be quickly cut down, and like a green plant, they shall fade. Trust in the Lord and do good. Continue to dwell in the land and feed on doctrine. Therefore, you yourselves be occupied with the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your right lobe. Verse 5, beginning the Gimel file. First line, roll on the Lord, that is, rely on the Lord, your way. Therefore, second line, therefore trust in Him and He will work it out. Manufacture a solution. Third line, verse 6. Furthermore, He will cause your righteousness, imputed divine righteousness resident in your soul, to advance like dawn's light. The fourth line in the King James, and thy judgment as the noonday. The noun for judgment is also the noun for justice. It looks like this in the Hebrew, mishpat. M-I-S-H-P-A-T. Here it means justice. Your justice or your just cause. It could even be translated, your vindication. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are committed to the principle of your personal vindication in making a choice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your vindication comes through fulfilling the plan of God. It is a personal vindication. And you are vindicated in the angelic conflict by perpetuating your momentum through the daily perception of doctrine and attaining spiritual maturity, cracking the maturity barrier. Your just cause. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the choice of following the road of the just cause, which is the advance to maturity. You start out as a baby or a freshman, and you move to adolescence or a sophomore, and then eventually you crack the maturity barrier. That's your junior and senior years in the plan of God. And that, of course, is positive volition toward Bible doctrine. But should you reject doctrine, then there is no way you can vindicate your existence or the fact that you are under logistical grace support. And the result of not being able to justify or vindicate your life on earth, your mishpat, is divine discipline, eventuating in the sin unto death. Therefore, believers are either the happiest people in the world or the most miserable, depending on which road they take, positive or negative volition toward Bible doctrine. So your just cause, your vindication. And then we have the comparative next, the comparative conjunction with the noun Soher. There's the comparative conjunction. That's a K plus T-S-O-H-A-R. Soher. And it means noon. Ordinarily, the noun means light or even a window. But it's in the dual form here. So instead of meaning noon, it means simply double light, for that's what noon was considered to be. And as such, it becomes the metaphor for prosperity in the Hebrew language. And your vindication, your just cause, like noon, the double light, or prosperity. Now, in translating it, we can simply present it this way, the entire verse 6. Furthermore, he will cause your righteous cause, your vindication, to go for, or your righteous cause, your righteousness, plus R, imputed righteousness, to advance like dawn's light. And your vindication, your advance to maturity, like noon, or great prosperity. Apart from justification, then, at salvation, the purpose of imputed righteousness is to provide a home or a target for logistical grace support, as well as the imputation of super grace blessing after you have attained maturity. When God's righteousness is imputed, it is not only to provide justification at salvation, but a home for vindication after salvation. We have studied in Romans the principle of justification. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's righteousness is imputed to you. Now, the imputation of divine righteousness not only justifies and is a part of the guarantee of salvation, but it becomes a basis of making your life meaningful after salvation. God's plan is divided into three phases. Phase 1, salvation. Phase two, your time on this earth represented by the dotted line. Phase three, the arrow representing your advance to heaven, which is being absent from the body and face to face with the Lord, or at the time of the rapture, being in His presence in a resurrection body. So it is phase two, justification or vindication, that is in view in the fourth line of this particular file, the Gimel file. And Gimel is a camel and means prosperity, just as Aleph means prosperity. So Gimel means prosperity through the function of business or through the function of life. And therefore, the imputation of logistical grace support, which keeps us alive, all of us alive, in phase two, comes from one half of divine integrity, the justice of God, to the other half of divine integrity, the righteousness of God which indwells us. And none of us are sustained in this life because of who or what we are. We are sustained in this life because of who and what God is. We have one half of His integrity. That's the issue. That's the important factor. And having that one half of His integrity, He is going to sustain us on the basis of His righteousness, not our own. Now, it's true that lots of believers do something and do it well, or receive praise and it goes to their head, or have distinguished themselves in the spiritual realm in one of the many ways in which distinction can be recognized by others. And in so doing, they began a thought pattern. It's actually the first gate of interlocking systems of arrogance. A thought pattern of their indispensability, that they have done something to earn or deserve from God the blessings which are involved in the logistical grace pattern. And once you assume that, you have lost your momentum, and you spend the rest of your life being involved in the various categories of the arrogance complex, unless you wake up and recover. We will study the whole concept of recovery in our next increment. We have two increments before 1980 is over. When I'm using Psalm 37 to remind you of a principle, that God's plan goes on for your life, whether we are in historical prosperity or historical disaster, whether we are in personal prosperity or personal disaster. And the objectives do not change because history changes. History is constantly in the process of changing due to the fact that this is the devil's world. But no matter how adverse your circumstances may be, no matter how prosperous you may become, the purpose of the plan of God remains static, and doctrine is available, and through the perception of doctrine, the fulfillment of God's plan continues. Because you will discover many times personal adversity and historical prosperity, or personal adversity and personal prosperity and historical adversity. Or you may even hit a time of historical prosperity, historical and personal prosperity, or historical adversity and personal adversity. There are four potentials at any given moment. And right now, you fall, as an individual believer, you fall into one of these categories. You are either enjoying, well, let's put the line like this. The top line is historical. The bottom line is personal. Historical prosperity and personal adversity. Or that's your first category then. Category two is historical adversity, but personal prosperity. This might be called the difference between the Carter and the Reagan regimes. Then there is historical prosperity and personal prosperity, the Eisenhower administration. And then there is historical adversity and personal adversity, and that would be your cycles of discipline. Now, you are in one of these at any particular moment in your life, and you might even make a chart someday and check it out. You might be personally having great problems, but be in a period when history of this country as a client nation is in a period of prosperity. But you might be also having great prosperity and look around you and see that the nation is in the throes of great adversity. Or you might be in a period where historical prosperity and your own match, or in a period when the adversities match. So all you have to do is to check out in any one. I'm in this one, category one. I'm in category two, three, or four, whichever it may be. And the reminder is, for example, if you're in category four, God's plan goes right on for your life. Nothing is changed by circumstances. Once we get this drummed into our souls, we call it inculcation. Once this principle, once we have finished Psalm 37, then we have two things. We have one, a special coming up at Thanksgiving. Then after that, or maybe even before that, depending on when we finish this, then we're going to start something, what I call it, the something for everything area of the Word of God, or something for everyone. Some of you feel left out because you feel that things are too advanced. That's either because you're not concentrating or because you haven't had the basics as yet. And then some of you feel that things are sometimes too simple. And that's old hat to you. Now, there is one writer of Scripture, and he fell into it in a strange way. One writer of Scripture, and because of his failures and his successes, he suddenly fell into it. When God the Holy Spirit told him to write, he had something for everyone. And we'll begin the new year with something for everyone. Then we'll branch out from there. We'll look at everyone and see if they've advanced enough for maybe the book of Revelation. That's for mature. It's easy. I mean, I'll practically go to sleep on the book of Revelation. It's so easy. But people think it's mysterious and all that sort of thing. The main thing of the book of Revelation, since most of it deals with the tribulation, is to get the application back to you without you getting the goofy idea that you're in the tribulation. I know some of you have problems, but that is not the tribulation. Now, the vindication of the indwelling of divine righteousness is the believer's advance to maturity. That is the vindication. People cannot look inside of you and see God's righteousness imputed. But when you advance to maturity, God's righteousness mentioned in line 3 is vindicated. See, line 3 is the beginning of verse 6. Furthermore, he will cause your righteousness, the imputed righteousness of God, to advance like dawn's light. And your vindication is the advance to maturity like the noonday. That's the brightest light of all. The sun is more or less overhead, depending on where you stand on this planet, south or north of you, etc., unless you're on the equator. Let's make it simple. You're on the equator. And that means at noon, the light is brightest, it's right overhead. A sign of great prosperity. The only way that God's righteousness in your life is vindicated is when God is free to impute to you super grace blessings. Now that means that the advance to maturity is impossible without both perception and application of doctrine. Faith perception, faith application. Concentration, reverse concentration. Faith rest is used in both perception and application. Faith rest converts gnosis into epinosis. And faith rest applies epinosis to the circumstances of life. Concentration requires faith rest function. Reverse concentration requires faith rest application. The ammunition for reverse concentration then is Bible doctrine resident in the soul, not Bible doctrine resident in the canon of Scripture. Now that brings us to the principle. Can God give you prosperity when the country is in a period of disaster? Can God give you prosperity as an individual when there is maximum historical adversity as your circumstances, your environment? And the answer to this is yes. We have noted it before, but if you'll remember, Romans 8:32. God, who did not spare His own Son, but on behalf of us all, He delivered Him over to judgment. How shall He not also with Him, with this so great salvation, in grace, give to us the all things? And of course, the all things refer to the six categories of super grace blessing. David described the imputation of special blessing in Psalm 23, verses 5 and 6. You're familiar with the psalm. It begins, "The Lord is the one shepherding me. Therefore, I cannot lack." And in verse 5, "You have prepared before me a table in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed with oil my head, my cup. Prosperity is overflowing." Verse 6, "Only prosperity and grace shall pursue me." This is the mature believer. "Only prosperity and grace shall pursue me." Prosperity pursues the mature believer. You don't have to look for it. It's looking for you. Grace pursues the mature believer. "All the days of my life." That's the life of the mature believer in phase 2. "And I will remain in the house of the Lord forever." The anticipation of phase 3. Well, let's go back and review again, lest you forget. The six categories of blessing you can anticipate by maintaining your momentum, the daily perception of doctrine. Now as you look around you, and not now, please, but as you look around you, you will see that some have fallen by the wayside. Not all. We are developing the FX system to the point where right around and within 25 miles of this church in the city of Houston, there are people right now who used to sit next to you who are now listening over FX. Right now, it's a matter of convenience. In the future, it might be a matter of necessity. So that we have developed a tremendous number of overflow rooms in the periphery of Houston. There are at least 10 overflow rooms within 25 to 30 or 40 or 50 miles of where we are right now. But there are those who have come and gone. There will always be those who come and go. They are described in a certain passage. I'm not going to give you the passage yet. That would anticipate where we will be going shortly and would ruin some of my fun. These are called Arnion, A-R-N-I-O-N. Little lambs, little helpless creatures, little cute woolies. The baby believer. And with positive, and the baby believer doesn't need much in the way of authority or even be reminded, because he is so full of enthusiasm as the baby desires the sincere milk of the Word. And therefore, he doesn't need much in the way of discipline, even though he is under a system of authority, because he is carried by his enthusiasm for doctrine, the milk of the Word. And then the next stage, the sophomore, the wise fool. He's called probaton. P-R-O-B-A-T-O-N. And the reason is because he needs a kick in the gluteus maximus every now and again. He's a sophomore now. And he's learned some doctrine. And having learned a little, he thinks a little is a lot. And he assumes his expertise, and therefore he has to be brought down with a thump now and again. So he's handled in a different way. And then finally, there is the mature believer in this same context, still not being revealed. Probation. I'm not even telling you, see, what this means. And the probation is a humble, grace-oriented category. And probation actually means a humble type. In other words, a person who now has genuine humility. Down here, it's enforced humility. Well, in the first stage here, it's, of course, the organizational humility. But up here, it's genuine humility. And they don't have to be disciplined at all because they have learned through the application of maximum doctrine in their souls to use their own volition before the Lord to make their own decisions in the privacy of their own soul and to handle their own lives. They have graduated to the place where they can use their own volition and make their own decisions and handle their own lives. They have become spiritually self-sustaining. And those are the ones who have these six categories of blessings. The diminished form of probation. Those are the ones who really have it all the way through. We will study them at a later time, of course. Now, the first category, in deference to the whole concept, the first category is spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessing starts out with being able to think. The Air Force and the old Army Air Corps, not the Air Force, but the old Army Air Corps used to have a saying, God gave us two ends and put it in the cockpit. One to sit on, one to think with. Whether you make it or not depends on which end you use. The greatest spiritual blessing is to be able to think and have thought content for every circumstance of life. That means maximum doctrine resident in the soul. And being able to think in the environment of humility, genuine humility, so that you never lose your sense of humor. Roger Staubach, Dallas Cowboy quarterback, also has a daughter named Amy. And Roger's doing the commentary for the Dallas Cowboy football games. And so the announcer said to Roger last Sunday, Roger, what would you do in this type of a situation? They always ask quarterbacks that. What would you do in this type of situation? Well, they said, I would talk to Amy. I would consult with Amy. And then I'd try to stop the bomb. Well, this was before the election. And it appeared, according to Roger's statement in the paper today, it appears that the Carter administration doesn't have much of a sense of humor. And they took great exception to that on Sunday before the election on Tuesday. And, of course, Roger said, look, I have a daughter named Amy, and the bomb is the one that they had been throwing against the Cowboys successfully, and sure enough, they threw another bomb and made another touchdown. It's just football language for a long prayer pass. Now, you must be able to think But the problem when you learn to think, and some of you will if you stay with it. Don't give up. Don't quit now. There's a danger in learning to think. A very grave danger. Moving into interlocking systems of arrogance. Once you have thought content of the soul, it's very easy to begin to look down your nose at the other 90% of the human race who have yet to have a thought. Oh, they can say a few words, como esta, or hey man, or muchas gracias. But to be able to think and to use thought properly, you must be in a state of genuine humility. That's why, as you learn doctrine, you develop genuine humility out of enforced humility. Genuine humility, there it is. The environment for thinking truth. For you can have false thinking or truth. Truth in three categories. And the greatest of all spiritual blessings imputed to the mature believer is the thinking truth. Truth becomes the pipeline that takes doctrine in the soul, thought, and applies it to experience. And keeps you away from interlocking systems of arrogance. And that same genuine humility gives you a marvelous sense of humor. Some of you have never laughed at anything in life. Well, just cheer up. You too can laugh. Not hysterically, but with genuine humor. Now, thinking has other concepts. Once you learn to think, you develop tremendous capacity. Capacity for love. Capacity for life. Capacity for happiness. You develop interest in life. And it's inevitable that all mature believers are going to develop their own culture. They will become interested in drama. They will become interested in other cultural forms, music. Now, when I say music, I have to, of course, define it. Symphony. Never heard of that? Well, I don't call country music music. We have a lot of things today that are not even close to music. They are psychedelic monstrosities, best understood under the influence of some drug. But you will develop. Your tastes will change. You will find interest in things that at one time held not your interest at all. And eventually, your capacity for life will give you a tremendous interest in both people and things. Now we have one young lady who isn't concentrated. Don't bother to look around. Either look up here or go to sleep. But don't bother to look around. There are other people listening. And I admit that man back there is nice looking. Now this is a spiritual blessing. The ability to think, the ability to concentrate, because it will make you a good lover, it'll make you great in social life. You can go anywhere in the world. You can go to the Duke of Beaufort's hunt ball and be the belle of the ball or the scion of society. You can handle yourself anywhere once you reach maturity as a believer. You are not awed into a state of frozen thinking. You will be able to loosen up under any circumstances of life. You will have capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness, capacity for blessing, and more than that, you will be sharing the happiness of God or plus H with those around. You will provide in the devil's world an environment that the genius of Satan with all of his power cannot provide. The ability, you will also have the, excuse me, you will have the ability to cope with any adversity any suffering or any disaster, and you will be free from slavery to the circumstances of life. This is all a part of spiritual blessing. You will have the ability to correctly interpret contemporary history. You will be able to evaluate current events in the light of the Word of God. They're still trying to explain what happened in the election, and if you have half a doctrine, you can explain it all. Grace orientation will be yours, and that's always a major change in personality, not overtly, but the inner personality of the soul. You will begin to understand the grace principles of life, and you will begin to treat those around you in your circumstances with grace. You will have flexibility. You will have objectivity. You will be able to adapt to changing circumstances in life. You will have a total sense of security in relationship to the plan of God and therefore to anything in life. And you will never be snowed into the evil propaganda that nuclear weapons can destroy the population of the earth. You will never buy that one. You won't even be upset when the Planet of the Apes type of drama comes on the screen. You will know that that's a farce. You will laugh and be relaxed. You will also know that the transmutation of species is a myth, and there will be no cloning in the near future. So you will have a total sense of security about unexplainable things, adverse things, and prosperous things. And you will fulfill the concept of Proverbs chapter 8, verses 33 through 36, which says, heed doctrinal teaching. Concentrate on doctrinal teaching and be wise. Do not neglect it, doctrine. Happy is the man who listens to doctrine, watching daily at my gates, daily positive volition and concentration, waiting at my doors. For he who finds me, doctrine, finds capacity for life and obtains grace blessing from the Lord. He who sins against me, negative volition toward doctrine, injures himself, divine discipline. All those who hate me, doctrine, love death, the sin unto death. Proverbs 8:18 then adds, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth, and the vindication of righteousness. That's all a part of the first category of the imputation of super grace blessing. In category two, we have the temporal blessings of life. Things you can expect, not all of them, and it varies with the individual. God tailors category two temporal blessings to fit your life, your lifestyle, your circumstances. For some, it means wealth received or acquired. For others, it means success. Prominence in some sphere of life, prominence in some system or profession. For others, it means promotion, advance in your sphere of life. For some, it means the categories of prosperity, social prosperity, category three, love, or sexual prosperity, category two, love, or technical prosperity, advance in some technical or scientific field or some trade, some engineering area. For others, it means professional prosperity, the ability to succeed in a profession, law, medicine, military, engineering, teaching, law enforcement, art, music, etc. For others, it means mental prosperity, increased concentration, greater perspicacity, the ability to think, to exercise reason, to cultivate a sense of humor, to develop common sense. For many, it means a cultural prosperity, maximum enjoyment and appreciation in the cultural fields, drama, music, art, literature, history. It means also establishment prosperity for your area, enjoyment of freedom, privacy, the possession of property, protection from crime and reprisal. It means for many, leadership dynamics, which includes the ability to assume authority apart from pseudo-motivation, apart from emotional inspiration, and apart from the interlocking systems of arrogance. It also means for some, great health and the production of nervous energy. Category 3 is blessing by association. The mature believer, whether he's in super grace A, super grace B, or ultra super grace, is a blessing to those in his periphery, both during his lifetime and for some time after his death. This can be illustrated by the pastor of a local church. No one can exceed the growth of their right pastor, and therefore the pastor must study diligently. And not only does he communicate to his congregation the results of his study, but at the same time he grows spiritually through that perception. And there are two categories of divine blessing then by association. Direct blessing from God to the person associated with a mature believer. And secondly, indirect blessing from God in which the mature believer shares his blessings, whether material or spiritual, with others. And there are 6 areas of blessing by association. The spiritual periphery, blessing from learning doctrine, and this means blessings to the local church, to a mission board, to missionary organizations outside the local church, to associations, to prayer meetings, to prep schools inside, etc. Secondly, there is the loved one periphery. A mature husband, his wife will be blessed. Or a mature wife, the husband will be blessed. Mature parents, the children will be blessed. Mature children, the parents will be blessed. So we have family, friends, and even pets and animals get into the act. There is a professional periphery in which a school may have one mature believer, and that will be prosper, that school, or a hospital, or a medical center, or a law firm, or a military organization, or a police department, or a symphony orchestra, or a football team, or a basketball team, or a baseball team, any athletic association, or a political party, or a client nation. There is also the business periphery, in which a mature believer in a business, an industry, a partnership, a corporation, investors, management, labor, can be a blessing to the entire business organization or corporation with which he associates. The social periphery includes a circle of friends, clubs, associations. There is also geographical periphery. There's no reason why Houston should be prospered the way it is. If you look at our recent city governments, our problems that we face in various areas, and yet here we are. We have blessing by association in city, county, state, and nation. There is also a heritage factor, even after the death of a mature believer. Blessing by association is perpetuated for at least one generation following his death. So we have to the bereaved, whether parents, children, wife, husband, loved ones, close friends, share in blessing by association. This is taught in Jeremiah 12:1, where it says, you are righteous, O Lord, therefore I will plead my case with you. In fact, I will discuss matters of justice with you. Why has the way of the wicked prospered? And the answer to that is found in the fact that one mature believer can have children. He now is absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. He can have children who are blessed by association. They can be unbelievers. They could be evil. They could be wicked. He could have business. He could have organizations. It could be a nation. In the previous generation, there was not only enough of a pivot to prosper the client nation, but to carry a generation of liberals and communists and socialists, and to carry prosperity by association. And so why has the way of the wicked prospered? The answer is found in Category 3, super grace blessing, blessing by association. You want to do something for the next generation? Here's your answer. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Proverbs 24:19, do not fret because of evildoers or be jealous of the wicked. Why? Because many of them are the beneficiaries of a great principle. You see, a pivot not only brings prosperity to the nation in their own generation, But the next generation that follows, there is blessing by association in every aspect of life associated with the individuals in that pivot. Category 4 is historical blessing, known as the SALT or the pivot principle, in which the remnant of mature believers in a nation are the basis of divine blessing for that nation. Salt in the ancient world was a preserver of food. Salt is a preserver of a nation in the biblical sense. The pivot is the remnant of mature believers whose presence in the nation provides blessing and preservation from God. There is always a spinoff of born-again believers in reversionism or inside of interlocking systems of arrogance who bring punishment and divine discipline to a nation on the part of God. And in time of disaster, if the pivot, of course, is of mature believers is large enough, the nation is delivered through that disaster. If it is too small, the nation is destroyed by that disaster. Jesus Christ controls history, and the Lord Jesus Christ often preserves a nation, not because the nation deserves it, not because the nation has fulfilled the laws of divine establishment, but because that nation has a large enough pivot of mature believers to justify their preservation. Category 5 is undeserved suffering, designed to demonstrate the power and provision of God's grace as per 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 10. Undeserved suffering teaches the values of Bible doctrine. Psalm 119, 67 and 68. Undeserved suffering is designed to manifest the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 11. Undeserved suffering is designed to put muscle on the faith of the individual believer, giving him the dynamics of the second stage of the faith rest drill. Undeserved suffering, therefore, is so stated in Romans 8:36. We have been imputed as sheep for the slaughter, and that's the concept. Or in Romans 5:3 through 5. Category 6 of the imputation is dying blessing. Dying grace terminates the life of the mature believer in phase 2, and under dying grace, the curse of death with its fear and pain is completely removed, causing it to become the greatest experience of one's life. And this is the antithesis of the sin unto death. Dying grace then is the transition between the real imputation of blessing under in time and the real imputation of blessing in eternity. The mature believer has the best in life, therefore, and something better in dying and better than the best in eternity. Philippians 1:20 and 21 expresses the concept. According to my intense concentration on doctrine and resultant confidence that in nothing shall I be disgraced, but with integrity of maturity, even now as always, Christ shall be exalted by my person, whether by my life or by my death. For me, then, living is Christ, likewise, dying is great profit. Psalm 116:15 says essentially the same thing, different words. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. And as far as the mature believer then is concerned, God delivers him from death until it's time to call him home, and then he delivers him through death. This is found in Job chapter 5, Psalm 33:19, Psalm 56:13, Psalm 116:8. And when one dies, is the matter of the Lord's decision. That's divine sovereignty based on knowledge of all the facts. Psalm 68, verses 19 and 20. And the characteristics of Christian death are intensified in the blessing of the mature believer. Well, this then is the concept of the first three files. Aleph, of course, was prosperity. So is Gimel. In between is Beth. Beth has to do with a house and with the house of the Lord, which makes it all possible. Now, this is what we have categorically going into our Sunday morning service. We have fulfilled three files in six verses. Listen again to the corrected translation. Do not be distracted, disturbed, worried, irritated, agitated by those who do evil. Do not be jealous toward those who do wrong, because like grass they shall be quickly cut down, like the green plant shall wither or fade. Trust in the Lord and do good. Continue to dwell in the land and feed on doctrine. Therefore, you yourself be occupied with the Lord. There is the first characteristic of maturity, occupation with Christ. And He will give you the desires of your right lobe. Roll on the Lord your way. Therefore, trust in Him, and He will work it out. He will manufacture a solution. Verse 6, furthermore, He will cause your righteousness. It's your righteousness now because God imputed His righteousness to you for vindication. Vindication of salvation called justification. Vindication after salvation, the advance to maturity. Furthermore, He will cause your righteousness to advance like dawn's light, and your vindication, the advance to maturity, like the double light of noon, great prosperity of super grace. We will resume then Sunday morning with the Daleth file in verses 7 and 8. Now, Father, we're grateful for the privilege, the opportunity of fellowship in the Word, of having and knowing the reality of the fact that eternal God is our refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms, and that there's a reason and a purpose for everything that happens to us, and that there are no accidents in the life. And therefore, may we be advised from these things we are studying that Your plan continues for each one of us, regardless of the circumstances of history or any other factor. Challenge us then by the Word of God, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.